Hey, music fans, IndieCan Radio presents the second rendition of the Vancouver Indie Scene, your front row seat and backstage pass to indie life on the West Coast. From Feldman & Associates, we have Josh McNorton. But first, live at IndieCan West Studios, here's Lotus Child with the song Archaeologist.
I'm not afraid to
Lotus Child, thanks for helping make Canadian radio history. Glad to have you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Really love your CD. Sounds great. Looks great. Now, this isn't the original lineup for Lotus Child. You were talking a little bit about having a couple guys who just couldn't commit. And you found a couple of naive people who dream the dream. And
believe there might be a future. In the
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. By the way, guys. Never mind. I'll tell you.
You're going to quit the band. Miles is going to quit the band. I think what happened from you talking to Todd, that was when you got the balls to look for someone new.
I was recording a little piano for Todd Fancy from the New Pornographers, and basically bitching to him between takes about my band, and you know how the bass player and drummer didn't want to come on tour with us, and the quote from Todd was that I could say it, don't fuck around with pretenders. It's just like people that think they want to be in music and don't really, and that's sort of where we got the balls to move forward, and you know, we didn't exactly kick our other guys out. I think we just committed to what we wanted to do. So we committed. I booked a tour, and they didn't quit their jobs, so they quit the band.
Yeah. So we had to find a new rhythm section
with no jobs.
A new rhythm section has no jobs and no other commitments.
Yeah, looking for unemployed musicians.
Yeah. With about 3 weeks' notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what do you think, Peter? Did you make the right career choice?
Oh, I think so. Well, I've been playing music for a long time. This is sort of what I do and what I want to parlay into.
It's all you're good at.
And this is, yeah, it's the only thing I'm good at, so I might as well do it. So, yeah, it's been great so far. So, you know, it's nice to step into something that's already moving forward. Every other project I've ever been involved in, it's always been from the ground up. So it's kind of relieving in a lot of ways to walk into a project that's already got a lot of momentum behind it. It's a lot easier. It's a lot less stressful in a lot of ways. So.
Well, I thought with the bass solo finger tapping, you might have got on the Steve Vai tour, but that didn't pan out.
No, that's just for my own amusement.
And Miles, what attracted you to Lotus Child, and how's it going for you so far?
Physically.
Well, they invited me over and they offered me beer. So that was a good start. And their music was really interesting and always challenging, and always kept me on my toes. And that's really what I enjoy about playing music is being kept on your toes and always having room to expand and grow as a musician. So this is a great opportunity for that.
That's true. We found Peter before we found Miles, and then we asked Peter if he knew any drummers. He's like, oh, I know one drummer. You want to give him a call? So I called him, and I'm like, what are you doing right now? And he came over.
I was like, nothing.
And that was it. Yeah.
Peter and I play in another band together, so that's how we knew each other.
Terrific. Back to the music. I think Gossip Diet is going to be our second song, and that is the title song for the album. Tell me about that concept, where it came from, and why it was the lead song for the CD.
So Gossip Diet is at once like this diet we have of gossip, this you know, we consume it, we're constantly thinking about it, and the other side of it is diet as a political body. The diet is was the parliament of the Holy Roman Empire, and so it's just a parliament, you know, that functions on gossip. It's no more than gossip, all these stories.
Baby and me, filling up the guts of our gossip diet. Gossip diet, your intimacy. Just come and tell me how you want me to be. Every crack I bust, I'm under the gun. To all
So what's next for Lotus Child?
Tom, you're a spearhead.
Yeah, well, coming up, I think we're thinking of recording a small EP this fall. Something we'll do ourselves. And sort of a tour EP, and then we'll take it out on the road in February for a couple of weeks. We want to do Western Canada again. And then finally in May,
You want to tour Western Canada in February. That's what you said.
Yeah, I said it out loud. That's a fact. We talked about it just before this.
Ballsy.
Yeah, we have a death wish.
I want to. I hate the idea. You know, we played Calgary and Edmonton about a month ago, and I hate the idea of not getting back for another 10 months, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if you build momentum.
So anyone hearing this, we're going to risk our lives. comes to you in Calgary.
Damn, well, appreciate it.
A couple dodgy stretches of that road.
So come on. No, and then in the summer, we want to do the big drive. The drive across Canada and back.
Yeah. That's a lot of work, isn't it?
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Yes, Joe, it is. it's an incredibly daunting task. Right? We can only imagine.
Tell me about the Vancouver music scene. I mean, if it's all you've ever known, I guess you can't compare it to what our listeners know. And a lot of our listeners are the greater Toronto area, Ontario. Mm-hmm. But is there anything that you know to be unique about the Vancouver music scene or the style of music that comes out of here?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. It's really divided, like as far as scenes go. There's so much different music coming out of here. You'll have great bands, like good local bands. Like we were talking about a Five Alarm Funk, which is just this great dance band from here locally that, you know, you don't hear bands like that in many cities. It's just this huge onslaught of dance music. But on the same hand, you'll have like gritty rock bands. Like a band called Lady Hawk locally, and you know, and then you'll have, say, a band like us. It's somewhere in the middle, and we all play the same clubs but never the same shows. Makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really interesting how divided the scenes can be in that way. But in that way, this very diverse music is coming out, and I think
I think we're pretty far from the like Torontopia idea.
Yeah,
I've only read a little bit about it, but where nobody knows each other in Vancouver, and I think people in Toronto take more, or it seems to me they take more pride in their scene as in general, like all of Toronto.
It's what makes Toronto a small town. I mean, it's a big city, but the music scene is a small town. Everybody eventually, within time, knows each other.
Yeah,
because Canadian Music Week is there, and then a couple months later, North by Northeast is there, and there's other festivals. So you're all around, you bumping into each other, playing with each other the night before, the night after, or the set before, the set after.
I think in Vancouver, we spend a lot of time feeling like outsiders looking in on the scene in Toronto. Because, I mean, it really is the center of the universe as far as music's concerned in Canada.
In a lot of ways, I agree, but I think Vancouver has this huge attitude of to some degree an inferiority complex to the
as demonstrated by me,
you know, to the music. Like, there is amazing music happening here every night of the week. You can go see a great show.
Yeah, but the industry hasn't caught up like that.
Exactly, that's the problem.
Don't seem to have the infrastructure there.
Yeah,
the label head offices aren't here, and
there's a few.
Mint's here, of course. Yeah.
But I mean, as far as majors go,
that's it. Yeah.
Well, I guess network.
Okay. Thanks, guys. That was great. Thanks for introducing our listeners to your music. And we're going to close with what song?
Hey, this is Zach from Lotus Child. You're listening to Indie Can Radio. And this song's called Lids. Like autumn leaves, don't
a breeze. Painted nails on broken feet. Strangle every step. Just don't jump too high. Frail girl, it's not your place to look for more than this. Just don't jump too high. Frail girl, it's not your place to look for more than this. More than this. Da-na, da-na. By worms and crows, only tags remain. Swimming in your blood, they see the possibility. All these years, your feet were weak. Darling, won't you bleed? Just don't jump too high. Frail girl, it's not your place to look for more than this. Lens over my ears, over my eyes, over my pots and pans. Bring me to a lens over my ears, over my eyes, over my pots and pans. Bring me to a wall over my ears. Over my eyes, over my pots and pans. Bring me to a bowl, a bowl, a bowl, a bowl, a bowl, a bowl.
Carpenter from XM Satellite Radio.
Hi, this is Mo Berg.
This is Neil Osborne from 5440, and you're listening to IndieCan Radio.
Kiss. You can feel the punch heading with power.
of a dream, and every day's a gift. Dreamtime reverie, it's a whimsy little riff. Comes to you like the breath of a flower, all folks together for your finest hour.
Sad with somebody.
Hi, this is Zach from Lotus Job, and you're listening to Indie Can Radio.
Just heard Ant Hill. Ant Hill was nominated back in Toronto for the Toronto Independent Music Awards for Best Out of Area Band, and I met up with Mark here in Vancouver, and he shared his CD with us. I dig it. He met me at the Backstage Lounge, which was a show with Lotus Child, Elias. So we played a tune of theirs in an earlier episode, Get Some. And who else was there?
Tom Howie,
right. Sorry, Tom. It was a great set. Really loved that. Before that, we heard Sweetheart. I had the good fortune of being at their CD release party, and we heard from that CD, Map of the Human Heart. The song was Shout It. I saw them because I went to see Super Being, who was opening for them at the CD release party at the Roxy, and got to chat with the band a little bit. They just came off the road. They got out as far as Manitoba. They got to play with the Trues in Calgary, which is pretty cool. So good work, Sweetheart, on that CD. And before that, we went back to Toronto for the Apollo Effect. Hope you like that. Thanks again to Lotus Child for coming in. I know XM Satellite Radio has been giving them some love, and Hamilton Radio seems to love them, and so they should. It's music worth embracing. Also, thanks to Tom from Vertical Production Studio, where they house IndieCan West. It's a great facility. Thanks goes out also to Dan Mangan. He started this whole ball rolling. I met him at North by Northeast, and he handed me a CD of his, and I said I'd give it a listen, and I played a song of his on a previous episode months and months ago, and he thanked me for that, and we started talking. I said, hey, it'd be cool to do a show out in Vancouver, and things started happening, and here we are. The next artist we're playing actually, Tom here worked with Hey Ocean. Was it here in this studio?
It was.
That's really cool. And let's see, how about, here's a cool song. How about Eskimo Kisses? Ladies and gentlemen, Hey Ocean.
Eskimo man and an Eskimo missus, I'll cover you, I'll cover you. sent our last grievances. They still resist. A word is powerless. We have no choice. We must advance. Let's take a stand. Let's sound the call to arms. We'll tear these tyrants down.
The Painted Birds. The song was "Though Every Dog Bark." Do I got that right,
Josh? You got it right.
Okay. Josh McNaughton is not only our industry insider, but he's also an indie artist. In fact, you played guitar on that track, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. Tell me about that band.
Sure. Well, we used to be called Spark That Screams, and we did sort of more electronic music. There were sequence drums, now there's real drums, and it's more of a rock feel. And the lead singer Dom from that band, him and I started playing together 4 years ago, and then we sort of started a band, and then he went away for a while. He went to travel for a year and then came back, and we started this new band, The Painted Birds, and we're much more of a rock band.
Now, your day job is you work with Feldman and Associates.
Yeah, I do.
What's your official title there?
My official title is IT director, or sometimes it's called CEO of Emerging Technologies. And also I do promotions. I'm the promotions coordinator, which doesn't mean a lot. And then also the third thing I do is I'm a junior booking agent. So probably the more interesting thing to you is that I'm learning how to be a booking agent.
Well, certainly. And to listeners who, hey, you know, what are the cool jobs in the music industry? That one would seem a little bit exciting because you seem to be dealing with the talent. Whether you ever meet them or not is a whole other story. But you book, well, just talk a little bit about, you know, what your day-to-day activities would be.
Sure. Day-to-day, I'm doing 10 different things at any given time, and I really like that. It's the best part about the job. In terms of being a desk job, it's mm-hmm. so diverse. So things I'll do is I maintain the website, so I'll make sure that I'm always spending a couple hours on that, updating the content, sending out, creating ads, sending out press, basically promoting our artists. So someone does really well, has a number one or something, I'll make sure that people within the company all know about it. So I'm disseminating information, and then also sending it out. So using things like MySpace to disseminate information about our artists. And then the booking side of things, which is starting to take up more and more time because I'm really excited about it, is just
calling promoters, talking to bands, going to see bands constantly, listening to music like I've never listened before, like 12 hours a day at least I'm listening to music. And it's just seeing what's out there, what's next, what's exciting, getting interest from promoters and strategizing with a band about when they're going to tour, where they're going to go, how much money that we're going to ask for, and all that stuff.
Well, talking about the artists, your company has a pretty remarkable lineup of artists. Can you talk a little bit about some of the people you represent?
Sure. A lot of really high-profile artists like Avril Lavigne, Bryan Adams, Norah Jones, Elvis Costello, Joni Mitchell, Leonard Cohen. And it's like American and Canadian, primarily Canadian artists, but...
I noticed some husbands and wives in there.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was, that's how we got Elvis Costello, I think.
Yeah, I figured as much. Yeah, but I love Elvis Costello and sort of what he's done for influencing music.
Yeah, the only...
Get him on tour, would you?
It's not up to me, yeah. I think he chooses 2 years in advance and then we put the wheels in motion. But the only celebrity encounter that I've had, I've only been there for 6 months, but... It was one day Elvis Costello came in for some meetings with the president, Sam Feldman, and my office is like 2 doors down from Sam's office and I can see right into it. Cause it's all windows. And Elvis kind of walks by and I'm not actually that familiar with his music. I know how revered he is. So, yeah. People have come in before, but it's usually not a big deal to me. But Elvis Costello walked by and I was like, oh, that's cool. Like literally from me to you, like two feet away, walks by me. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like I could tell people Elvis Costello was right there, right close by me. And then he, you know, whatever, is having meetings all day. And then a couple hours later, I don't even know if he was still there or not. I'm walking out of the washroom and Elvis Costello is like standing right in front of me to use the toilet after I did. And I was like, sweet. Because we just looked at each other and it was totally not a big deal. And yeah. I didn't even make anything of it. But I was like, to my coworkers, I was like, holy cow, like Elvis Costello's peeing where I just peed. Like, that's kind of awesome.
Get yourself My Aim Is True. I mean, that is one smoking Elvis Costello recording.
Okay, I will.
You can probably, you probably have an in.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I'm sure you can get anything, yeah.
So, the Vancouver indie scene, can you talk a little bit about your observations of it? Do you, because of your association with Feldman and Associates, have a great sense for all of the different scenes across Canada, or do they really just, you know, sort of keep you glued on the Vancouver scene?
They really keep me glued on the Vancouver scene, but I'm such an avid music fan and such a voracious consumer of music, not just music, but music press. Like I don't even read novels anymore. I'm just constantly reading music magazines, tons of blogs, tons of online press, just to see who the next thing is, because I always want to know who the next great band is. And especially Canadian music right now has never been better. It's so good. And the quality of music, especially coming out of Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal, and even out east too, is so phenomenal that it's so exciting to me to just hear these new, and literally every week I'm discovering a new Canadian band.
So you listen to 12 hours of music a day.
At least.
You've been doing it for 6 months and you're still crazy about it. You don't have music fatigue yet.
No, no way. I never will. Cause I mean, I listen to music for hours on end in my normal life. Like when I was going to school, even it's like when I'm not, if I can, I'll put the headphones on and listen anytime that I have that opportunity. But now at work, that's 9 solid hours of me sitting down, guaranteed always listening to music, and it's often things that are being thrown on my desk like that morning that I'm asked to sort of listen to and give feedback on. And I also am really interested in music criticism, and I do a lot of music writing, so that totally fits in with the job, which is really great that I can go see a band and they really care about my opinion, because we might want to sign this band. Do you think they're good? Do you think they have potential? And it helps being a musician myself and already being around that community, but being able to just go and critique it is really fun.
Just between you and me, what about that band Lotus Child? Any potential there?
Potential, definitely. I think, they're good. They're good. They got good songs. They're good.
I love them. I'm delighted they're getting some love from radio out.
Yeah,
east.
Totally. And I think it's only going to get better. And they have smart managers. So
yeah. Now, but you work with them. That's one of your hats that you wear at Feldman and Associates. And so, what do you do for an indie band that they can't do or aren't already doing for themselves?
Basically booking. Like I really like to do a little bit of the managerial side, meaning I just like to talk to them about their plans, and like it's all sort of wrapped in, because we're all in the business of making the band successful. So if I can help them with grants, with festivals, with things like that, that I just know about anyway, mostly through my own music background, that's really exciting to me, because it's not just about just getting them shows and getting them guaranteed, you know, amounts of money or whatever. That's mainly what I'm doing right now, and that's what I'm really learning to do and getting better at, is just setting up tours and making sure the band gets a certain amount of money and gets a certain deal, and I go directly to the promoters. And the bands are really good about doing, like, a lot of bands are really good about doing that kind of thing themselves, but if they can only focus on the music, then it's the best for everybody. They can have someone like me helping them book, you know, shows in Alberta. That makes it easier for them, and that makes the music better.
So how does this come down? If a band decides, hey, we need to get outside of our scope of talents and abilities, should they contact you, or do you have a don't call us, we'll call you attitude about indie bands?
Both. I mean, I get people contacting me or emailing. Actually, we do, not just me, we do in the company in general. And we actually do pretty much look at everything. Like, we do consider it. We get a lot of CDs and stuff, and it is a lot harder for us to be serious about something, because if it's just like a cold call, or if it's just a CD in the mail, and that goes with anything, like a label or anything, it's like they're going to get so much. And especially now, like, because music's so good, and because of the internet, there's like thousands of bands. Even in Vancouver, there's hundreds of bands, and it's like, if we don't hear about them or have a recommendation, or if I don't see a show, then it's hard to just want to be like, okay, I'll take interest in band X that I've never heard of, who probably won't be very good, but they might be good. But it's like, there's already so many good bands that I am actively seeking out, that for them to seek me out.
Yeah, it's like finding a needle in a stack of needles.
Exactly. Yeah.
There is so much good music in Halifax, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver. Not to take anything away from places like Saskatoon or Regina or wherever else, but there's just so many bands in these bigger centers.
And to answer your question about Vancouver, I think I haven't really, really delved into it until the last couple years. And I think the issue with Vancouver, and it can be applied to the city in a lot of ways, but it's really spread out. So for there, and even like venues, think about the venues. The venues are all, there's a lot of really great venues, but they're so spread out that it's hard for like a scene to really emerge. And it's hard for like, I think, camaraderie between bands to really emerge, unless they already knew each other or they've played in bands together or whatever, or shared bills. That's how most bands get to know each other, just playing the same shows. But
so you don't have like a Queen West where there's the Rivoli, and a few doors down there's the Horseshoe, and then a few doors down there's the Bovine and the Reverb and Cathedral.
Yeah,
and
that's what Vancouver
all
needs.
Walking distance.
Yeah, if Vancouver had like two really good venues on Granville Street, because they already have the Commodore, they already have the Plaza, they had two really good small venues, like maybe Horseshoe size.
What about the Roxy? Not big enough?
The Roxy just doesn't have shows enough. Yeah, it doesn't.
I mean, if that could be a cool, devoted to
that's
music.
A pretty like decent sized room, and it actually doesn't sound that bad. But yeah, like the especially bar owners, like they're not as devoted to making these designated places for live music. And yeah, like there are good venues, and there's so many good bands, but there's bands that are East Vancouver bands that's what they call themselves, and they're sort of doing their sort of indie rock scene in East Vancouver, and a lot of it's really good, and a lot of it's getting way far beyond Vancouver, like it's getting popular in the States. But I think for a scene to emerge, it's hard because people are just so spread out, and the disparity between, I don't know, the neighborhoods is really different, and that really dictates a lot about the sound. There's not like an artsy community. Like, they're maybe a little bit on Commercial Drive, but not really. Like, that's not music focused. So
yeah, that's more general art, fine art,
yeah,
that kind
exactly,
of thing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I think there's so many good bands, but it's really, there's no scene in Vancouver. And, well, I mean, yeah, that's just my opinion, but I just don't think there's really, like, one scene. Like the best example being, like, Arts and Crafts Records in Toronto. Like, that is the best thing that's happened to Canadian music, in my opinion, I've been around anyway. It's so exciting that there's all these bands, mostly from Toronto, all from Toronto, mostly. There's all these great bands making sort of comparable styles of music, like still indie rock, but sort of all with a similar aesthetic, and they're all friends, and it's all like the Broken Social Scene thing is so cool that if we could have that in Vancouver, and maybe it's happening, and maybe I just don't know about it yet, but I think that should happen. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it is a neat idea. It just organically came out of something, right? Where, hey, let's, you know, work together and see what we have. And
Yeah, and it's totally earnest because the music's good and it's all about the love of the music and promoting the artists that are making this music.
Yeah, it's just this, it's like it has this life unto its own, right? I mean, Broken Social Scene can be any combination of artists at any given time, right? But you just give them the respect that, you know, if it wasn't worth sending out the door, they wouldn't have, right? And so it's always worth listening to. Well, thanks for coming in. I hope you'll keep us in tune with what's going on in the Vancouver scene. Because
definitely. Feel free to ask. I'll always tell you who's hot and what's going on.
Great. There's
lots of good stuff.
Our attitude is we're all in this together.
Good. Okay. Good attitude.
Thanks for coming.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, listeners, for supporting indie music. I'm closing the show with a great band from Toronto called The Dunes. This is Calling All Cars.
On the artists featured on today's show, visit indiecan.com.